With our special guest tonight, Gary Haven, as we talk about the film that he has produced and backed, Armageddon. And we're going to take your calls, too, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Gary Haven with us. Gary, so you can tell us if you want to, who are you going to support this year for the presidential run?
Since Rand Paul dropped out, and I would have supported him financially had he...
Had he stayed.
Had he developed a winning strategy. And from the very beginning, he just wasn't effective at messaging and in making a difference out there. So now that he's out, and this is important, every candidate, with the exception of one, and I'm talking about on both sides of the aisle, is bought and paid for by the moneyed interest.
Oh, yeah, no
Everybody.
Doubt. Except one.
Except for one. Now, Donald Trump may be a mess, but he's his own mess. And our country is in such peril because any of the establishment candidates, whether they're Republican fascist or Democrat communist, any of those are going to take us to destruction. So Donald Trump is the only one that we have any hope that will get our country back. And that's what is resonating with the American people. You know, I'm hopeful, hesitantly hopeful, that enough Americans are waking up now to know that they've lost their country. And they're supporting Trump because as big of a mess as he is, there's hope that he's going to take it back for us. And that kind of brings us to our movie. This movie was meant to equip people to share the truth with their family and friends about what's going on in this country, about how our government is a threat to our survival. And by the way, did you get a chance to watch the trailer?
Just the trailer, exactly. Exactly.
Well, the audience can watch the trailer on AmerigeddonTheMovie.com. And Armageddon is spelled...
And we've got that linked up for you at Coast to Coast.
Yeah, it's on your link there, so they can go there. It's AmerigeddonTheMovie.com. And they're going to see that it's an exciting movie. It's an action-adventure movie that has a very informative message. They can bring their friends, even the friends that think they're radicals or conspiracists. It's a chance to introduce them to the truth, to the message. And we actually hope to create a movement with this movie where we can begin to get people to peel the onion back and to become aware of what's going on. And I appreciate you having me on tonight to talk about this because I know that's important to you. And it's certainly important to the survival of our country.
It truly is. It's going to be dramatic. And we're going to see what happens. It's going to be an interesting presidential run. I don't think Hillary has it locked up yet. Part of me thinks, Gary, there's going to be a brokered Republican convention and that Jeb Bush might get it because they can't figure out who to give it to. But right now, Trump looks very, very strong.
Did you see the poll that came out
this afternoon? Yeah. I mean, He's running into, those high 30% ahead of everybody. I mean, it's amazing. People are fed up.
It just may happen. And, I don't agree with him on a lot of things. He came out yesterday and said that we should double down on torture.
Yes.
A terrible idea. As long as he's not going to continue to obey the people in power, then he's worth supporting.
Well, but here's something you got to be concerned about. Those people who want to control the presidency, are they going to permit a guy like Donald Trump to win?
Not if they can prevent it. And Trump has his own security.
He's going to need a lot. I mean, I don't like talking about it or going there, but when you start bucking the establishment, God knows what could happen. Look at John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, that's a great example. And it's so clear now. I was listening to the promotion for that earlier, and that's a great example. It is so clear. You know, before Kennedy was killed, he said, I'm going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. And within weeks, he was assassinated. And their ability to cover it up. And again, you know what? We didn't have the Internet then, which is a godsend for us right now. And we also didn't have people that were questioning authority the way they are now. So we may just wake people up in time. My concern is that maybe too late, and with us poking the Russian bear in Syria right now, and going into the South China Sea, and poking these nuclear powers, and with Korea's ability to decimate our country, and that's how they'll do it. They're not going to Russia's not going to attack us with nuclear weapons. They're simply going to give the word to North Korea to detonate this thing. And you're right. You know, it may not be that that happens. It could be cyber attacks. Mm-hmm. Janet Napolitano said that it wasn't a question of when the grids shut down by cyber attack, or question of if. It's just a matter of when.
Of when. So, that's right.
And nothing's being done to protect the citizens of this country.
They're just disclosed that in Iraq they lost some radioactive material. God knows what would happen, Gary, if that gets into the hands of the ISIS people.
That can kill a lot of people in a city, but an EMP destroys the whole.
Destroys everything. That's right. Let's take some calls here. In the final hour that we've got with you, we'll go to Jeff in Sacramento to get started. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, George. Great show.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about this iPhone thing with the terrorists there and the government wanting to get a back door and a key to the code. And something that I haven't heard mentioned before is the aspect of whether the government would surrender the phone over to Apple, and Apple, through their own policy and maintaining their security, could unlock the phone and simply relay the information to the government without giving up their trade secrets.
Well, Lord Weinstein, who was our guest earlier, and you're probably on hold, Gary, when I had him on, totally opposed to letting the government in that phone. And he just thinks that it could be a disaster.
Yeah, you know, I read today that 70% of the requests that Apple gets to release the data is given to the government. So the question is, what's so special about this? And I think it's your question is that are they getting the key to the code, or are they just getting the data? It hasn't been clear, but it seemed to me it was just they want the information that was there. But you know, people who have no problem with this think that if you've got nothing to hide, then why should you be worried about it? But we have a government that uses the IRS as a weapon to go after people that disagree with policies. So, you know, letting a government agency have access to our emails and our phone calls, it's a very dangerous thing.
Very dangerous.
They can take things out of context,
yep,
and use it against us.
And Edward Snowden, of course, still on the lam in Russia, would like to come back. I would assume if someone like Trump gets elected, he might let him come back. What do you think?
I think so.
He just might. Let's go next to Harry in Port Huron, Michigan. Welcome to the program, Harry. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, George, and I've been in your column for a long time on this power grid thing. Gary, you were mentioning nothing's being done. I've been trying to get stuff done in Washington for years about this with people there, and now my state capital. What can we do to get this done? What can we do? I mean, Tell us, give us a little hope if there is any anywhere.
Well, you could have them watch my movie.
That's a start.
And all your friends and everybody you meet, because it's an accurate depiction of what we're facing. There was an attempt to pass what was called the SHIELD Act. And I'm calling for the passage of the SHIELD Act. And if we can get some millions of people to watch this movie and awake to the threat, there is a congressional effort. You know, it's not going on at the moment, but I think we can revive it, because this is a real threat, and when people recognize it, they may be willing to take it seriously and call us to action. And as I mentioned, it's only $2 billion to harden the grid. By the way, there's three grids in the United States, and Texas is the only state that has its own grid. And in the state of Texas this summer, they passed legislation to budget $200 million to harden the grid in Texas.
Yeah, some states are doing it on their own now.
Well, we're kind of the only one that can do it, because we have our own unique grid. Unfortunately, the other two grids cover the rest of the United States, so it has to be done on a federal level. But we've got a good start here, and I encourage you to continue your effort to make this happen, and maybe we can help with this project.
Gary, I've always wondered why companies that truly make their revenue because of electricity, i.e. Amazon.com, Facebook, companies like that, because if the web goes down because of the lack of power, of course everything is going to go down, they're out of business too. Why aren't they helping finance something like this?
That's a good question, and I wish I knew the answer to that, because it's self-preservation for them as well.
I mean, if you were the chairman of Amazon, knowing your corporate background, and you knew, my God, if the power grid goes down, my business is gone. For $2 billion, I'm going to call my friends at Microsoft and Apple and Facebook, and we're going to get this done without the government. Is that a smart move?
It is. But I actually believe the people in power have this by design. You know, Henry Kissinger said that the only thing standing in the way of a one-world government was a strong America. That's a window into what their strategy is to acquire absolute power. And because nothing's being done over something that's so obvious as this, it must be by design.
Two great guests of ours and friends, authors of One Second After and A Nation Forsaken, William Forstchen, F. Michael Maloof, they too have been running with this flag, Gary, trying to get the world to wake up to get this fixed too. So they're to me, they're heroes.
Yeah, they're great books, and a lot of my ideas come from their work.
We go to Tom now in the Bronx. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to say the gentleman that's with you, Haiti needs a lot of housing and cargo containers. A lot of people, like in South Africa, live in these cargo containers with a big, and it's too bad that somebody like yourself can't talk to somebody in the government with a big aircraft carrier that may be a little obsolete, but can take a lot of cargo containers over to Haiti and then put it in a place like Port-au-Prince, where people are still living in tents over there, which is a disgrace. After all this time and all the money that's been pumped in there, a lot of it mysteriously has been disappearing in Lord knows where.
Have you seen that, Gary?
Yeah, you know, I took George W. Bush to Haiti several years ago and got to meet the president at the time, Preval. And I had the ability to bring in equipment to take the demolished buildings. By the way, 98% of the rubble is still sitting there. And we were going to take the debris and grind it up and create a building material. And do massive housing at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
And it's so corrupt over there. The way I word it is that they're so bureaucratic and corrupt, they can't even determine how much to steal from you.
Oh, gosh.
And this was a nonprofit effort I was going to do to create housing for thousands of people.
And they're not even making it look like they're trying, are they?
Yeah, you know, Rand Paul told me this the other day. The Clinton Haiti Fund spent 94% on administration.
See, most organizations will spend 15% on organization, and the rest goes to the kids or the foundation. That's crazy, 94%. That's thievery.
Yes, and of course, the mainstream media, which is bought and paid for, don't tell us that story, which I think is pretty important.
Do you know the Haitian rap singer, Juan G, by any chance?
Is he the circus performer that ran for president?
No, no. You don't know him.
It's a mess over there. I hate to laugh about it because of the suffering of the people. But I go there a lot. I've been there. I'm going week after next to take a plane load of water supplies.
What do you fly, by the way?
I'm an airline transport pilot with 13,000 hours, and I have a Lear 60 and a CJ3, and I bought a cargo plane, a Beech 1900 19-seat cargo plane that I converted into just a cargo with a couple of passengers on it, and so I fly all those different things.
Jeez, so you can do this without any red tape. You just load it up and off you go.
I'm an entrepreneur, you know. I don't like red tape. I don't do that very well.
No, not at all. Okay, let's see what we got. Let's just chat a little bit about the film. We'll take a break, and we're going to come back with final calls for you, Gary. The night goes quickly, doesn't it?
It sure does. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the movie. We have some really great actors and actresses in it. I just got my mind. Diane, she just got nominated for another Academy Award for another movie she did. It'll pop in my head in a minute. Being 60 is kind of tough, you know. But great actors and actresses. We hired a wonderful group of people. I got into the acting in our first movie, Mission Air, which you can watch on Netflix, and found that it was a natural thing for me to do. And so this movie, I wrote myself a starring role.
Dinah Meyer.
By the way,
that's her name.
Alex Jones.
Yep.
Has a role in our movie. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. He didn't tell me. Alex is a dear friend of mine. But Dinah Meyer was the actress, right?
Yeah. Dinah Meyer. Is in it. Starship Troopers. She's known for her shower scene.
Hold on for a sec. We're going to take this quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back with Gary Haven, of course, as we talk about his film, Armageddon. What's the venue for the film, Gary? Will it ever hit the big screen? How will people truly watch it?
It's going to come out in a theatrical release mid-May at theaters across the southern U.S.
Excellent. Will it ever get on DVDs for people?
Yeah, we'll do the theater run and do its full course, and then 6 months after that, it'll come out on DVD. So hopefully, people will be able to come and to their local theaters and support the movie. You know, I was telling you, Alex Jones has a major role in the movie.
Does he play himself?
No, he doesn't. In fact, he plays an evil senator.
Ah, I love it. I could just see him doing it.
He's particularly evil. He was great in the movie, and it was great fun acting with him. He and I were characters opposed to each other, and we got to be friends as a result.
Well, you know, he's a great guy. He's got a heart of gold, and a lot of people think that he's tough and all this, but He really is a decent person deep down inside.
Yes, he is, and he's committed to the truth. He has a passion for the truth.
He sure is. He sure is. All right, let's go back to final calls. Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, sir. How are you?
Hey, George and Gary and Tommy and all the Coast to Coast listeners and stuff. I listen to you on 970 AM KSYL here in the great Alexandria, Louisiana
area.
Yes,
you do. Super.
I heard my name mentioned last night. A guy said, "That's the man from Lafayette. I'm the God Gold and
bullets,
guns, and the Bible bullets and beans, man."
Yes, you
so,
are.
So, Mr. Gary, my question for you, you know Ted Cruz is being backed by Glenn Beck. I trust Glenn Beck, but now that you told me all this stuff on Cruz and what he did to Ben Carson, because I've been a big Ben Carson supporter.
Well, don't knock Glenn too much. He's an old friend of ours.
Yeah, I've been trying to get y'all together. I wanted y'all and Jim Baker, just like William Forrester. He was on Glenn's show tonight for the record about this EMP attack that we may have and the ISIS incident, you know, that might be coming up.
Oh, yeah.
But the only thing, like I said, I'm glad you told us about Ted Cruz and not to back him or nothing. But is Glenn Beck, do you know anything about him? I'll take my answer off the air, whether he's being deceived by Ted Cruz or anything. And thank you so much, fellas. God bless you.
All right. Glenn's a straight shooter. He's based down in Texas now.
Yeah. Cornelius, what a great name.
Yeah, he's one of our great callers.
You know, you're more qualified to talk about Glenn Beck because you know him. My only comment would be the handlers of Ted Cruz is to promote him as a viable alternative to the establishment, and they've been very successful in accomplishing that.
It's interesting, though, how Trump, Rubio, truly don't like Ted Cruz. They don't trust him. They think he's a liar. And I don't think there's something beyond just politics here. There might be something to it.
Well, he's played rather poorly, you know, with what he did with the good doctor the other day was, you know, not very. You know, I talk about these Judeo-Christian values, telling the truth, doing what you say. I'm afraid he fell short of the mark on that.
Did he approach you for support?
Yes, yes. In fact, I had dinner with him at the governor's mansion and with Greg Abbott sitting next to me. And the dinner didn't go very well for Ted Cruz.
It must have been uncomfortable.
Well, you know, he pontificated about the great things we were doing in Ukraine, and I listened to about 10 minutes of it and then spoke up and said, there's another side to this, and I laid it out. And he said to me, he said, "I'm not a neocon." Well, yes, you are a neocon. And if you want to send our treasure and our kids to Ukraine and fight beside the neo-Nazis that are part of the Ukraine government that we put into power, you're very much a neocon. So he basically lied to me.
Well, that's not good. Kevin in the truck driving in Colorado on the wild card line. Hello, Kevin. Go ahead.
Yes, gentlemen, Greg and Mr. Noy, pleasure to talk to both of you.
Yeah, Gary. Gary.
Mr. Greg, I have a question for you. You said that you're basically afraid of North Korea or someone attacking this country, detonating a nuke in high atmosphere over the U.S., but no one in their right mind would ever attack the United States, and all empires have always fallen from within as we are today. What would you have to say about that?
Well, here's one problem, and I'll have you, Gary, answer the rest of it. Some of these launches could occur on ships, and you would have no idea what government was behind them. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, you know, let me make give you two answers to it. First of all, we know that North Korea has been detonating nuclear weapons. We know that they've been a low-volume detonation, which by design creates greater gamma rays. And it's the gamma rays on these nuclear devices that destroy electronics. So they're not making bombs to blow up our cities. They're making bombs specifically for an EMP. And we know that they launched their second satellite on February 7th, 7 or 8 days ago. And that satellite, it goes across the U.S. at 300 miles above our surface, which is the optimum altitude, by the way, for an EMP. And so, you look at things, means, motive, and opportunity. And North Korea now has the means. They've got the motive. They've said they're going to do it. And now they have the opportunity. And the other side of this is, why would our country allow such a threat to exist? And that's where the real story is here. I believe that the people that want a new world order need America to diminish. And I know it's an awful thing to think, but when you look at the terrible decisions that are being made, letting these Syrian refugees that are unvetted come into our country, it's stupid.
And you know terrorists are coming with them. I mean, that's happening.
That up to 10% of them are radicalized. And even if it was 1%, you just don't do it. You don't do it until the FBI can say, hey, you know, we know these people are coming for the right reasons. And the FBI has testified before Congress. We cannot vet them. And yet they're coming in, and of course the open border. We know. I live in Texas. I lived on the border.
You know what it's like. I was down in Del Rio, Texas last year, Gary, at an event. I mean, it's like a sieve, isn't it?
It's insane. And you know, they want us to think they're incompetent, but these things don't happen by accident. You know, FDR, Roosevelt, said that nothing happens by accident. And so people need to wake up and realize that the people in power in this country do not have our best interest at heart. And we need to take our country back.
And we can take it back. That's what's so fascinating about all of this. We can win.
Yes, and people are waking up, and that's the hope that we have.
Let's go next to Mike in Montreal on the international line. Michael, go ahead.
George, I thank you so much. Even though why I'm calling, that we both disagree on one point. I think it is only one point among all the shows you've had.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. Yeah. The one thing that truly scares me, George, and guest, I'm sure you're aware, that a solar flare or CME, big X flare, could happen, but it's having it line up precisely is pretty rare, and it hasn't happened since the Carrington event. And we don't know how often.
Right, but you're right. But that's the sun. What about a rogue country? That's different.
A rogue country. Now, that really scares me, especially when you think about North Korea or Iran,
mm-hmm.
which could go to a submarine launch or, for that matter, a well-equipped fishing boat that could pop one up into the air
New
York Harbor
or
wherever.
You have no idea who launched it.
Yeah, and you're in big trouble. What truly scares me, though, George, as you know, is a lone nut, not a nation, but a lone nut or a bright 16-year-old on a computer who's a little twisted and taking pharmaceuticals could go online and order up complete plans or a kit to build a major EMP-generating device that could wipe out cities, or you could scale it up to the size or use several weapons and take out the entire United States. Now, this could be done by certainly a third-year electronics engineering student, but even a bright kid, it really, truly...
Yeah, you think it could be made just right here, easily, right?
Very easily.
That's scary, too.
I've got to ask you, what do you disagree with George on?
George doesn't believe that that's the major threat against our grid. George thinks it's more likely that a rogue nation will pop one up or the sun.
As opposed to a little suitcase device.
Or a EMP weapon, which is easy to build. You put it in a van and off you go.
Well, if it's that easy, though, Mike, don't you think it's already been made?
The thing that scares me to death is I think it has, and it may be being duplicated so they can do a major multi-stage attack all across
the U.S. Explain how
Canada.
This because if those who made it, they already know how it works. Explain to us how it would detonate. What would it do?
Well, what the device basically is, I'll try and simplify this as much as possible so everybody gets it. A basic thing in electronics is called a capacitor. And a capacitor slows down and builds up voltage. Now, you take a whole bunch of capacitors and charge them all up. They can even run your stereo for about 15 minutes before they decharge.
Okay.
So the more you build these up, the higher and higher and higher and higher the voltage goes until you've got 200 million volts.
How many capacitors would you need to do that?
Well, I mean, capacitors that I have in my basement, I love stereo equipment, so I modify it all with big capacitance. I have one farad capacitors. They're one full farad each. So you need 200 of those. And they cost me a buck each at a surplus store. So not a lot of money.
All right, and they're pretty small, you're saying.
Yeah, they are. Okay. And what you do with that is it's creating a magnetic pulse by putting a coil around a central rod. It's just like putting wire around a nail and hooking it up to a battery, and it becomes an electromagnet. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what you do is you have all these capacitors charged up to incredibly high power, and then you have it all release in a millionth of a second through this massive coil and large rod. A simple device would be about 5 feet long and only about a foot in diameter in a van. That would all discharge and create a huge magnetic pulse that would only really take out the major downtown core of a city, a small one.
Ah, okay.
That would create a cascading event where the whole grid could go down, the whole eastern coast, including
Canada. But you got to admit, definitely not as lethal as a nuke detonated in the atmosphere.
Certainly not, although it can be scaled up. If you put a shipboard weapon and pull it into the harbor somewhere, then you could have an enormous pulse that would be equivalent to a fair-sized nuclear device.
All right, but I wouldn't doubt if some governments have some kind of technology where they could do something like this. All kinds of sinister things out there, Gary, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, all the governments have them in their arsenal, including the U.S. You know, the movie Ocean's 12, that's what they used to shut the casino down so they could rob it. So those are out there. You know, my concern is this device 300 miles above the center of our country that's designed to produce massive gamma rays. And the problem with an electromagnetic pulse is that the energy travels so fast that it bypasses protective circuits. And we have transformers in our system that are made only in China, and they take up to 3 years to make. So if this happens, there's no way to get the grid back up and running in time to save the American population.
There's no way. Next up, let's go to Jake in Toledo, Ohio. Hey, Jake, go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, good to be here. Hey, I just wanted to chime in. You were talking about, you know, Donald Trump, you know, being, or somebody was, being such a, you know, ideal candidate as far as for constitutionalists go. Is that correct?
No, actually, let me quote myself. Donald Trump's a mess, but he's his own mess.
He's his own mess.
And he's not bought and paid for, and I disagree with a whole lot of his stuff, like doubling down on torture. So
I would say that he's a little bit more than a mess, and if he, you know, is in the presidential position, he's going to be a catastrophe. I mean, the guy knows how to get ratings and responses. I think it's pushing it, and I'm surprised that he's had the support he has.
And it continues, Jake, to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Who would he pick, Gary, speculate, if he gets the nomination as a vice presidential running mate?
You know, I have heard it said, and I haven't read it from the source, but he was considering my friend, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. However, I don't think that's the choice he would make. He needs to pick a woman that is a governor of a southern state.
What about Condoleezza Rice?
Well, she is absolute establishment.
Yeah, she is.
He'll bring the fox into the hen house.
That would be interesting indeed. So let's talk again about the website as we wrap things up. The film, of course, is called Amerageddon. There are links at coasttocoastam.com. You've got to take a look at the trailer. The movie comes out in May at some regional theaters. You're not going to go national quite at the get-go, right?
You know, our audience is in the southern U.S., and so we plan to take it to the people that...
And if it grows, maybe you'll take it to other movie houses?
Yes, that's correct. If we have a great response, if people get behind this and support it, we'll expand it as far as we can take it. But, you know, New York, California, those are tough places to tell people the truth.
Gary, keep in touch with us. Continued luck to you and good fortunes, and we will be in touch, okay?
Thank you, George. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Gary Haven and the film Amerageddon, which is exactly what we've been talking about, folks, for 2 years, and that is protecting our power grid. Primarily, this movie is about an EMP attack. I want it protected against a solar flare, an EMP attack, just about, or as Mike in Montreal said, a little device that somebody could make. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about Proof of Angels on Coast to Coast AM.